Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you excited? Today's topic, three instructions for purpose. Three instructions for purpose. But before we get into that, let's learn something from Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 15. Is this? Proverbs 13, verse 15. Proverbs 13, verse 15. He says, let's read together, one, two, go. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is, he tells you there's a choice between favor and hardness, hardship. Things can go easy for you, or things can be very difficult, praise the Lord. And there are people like that. Things that are easy for others, they have to battle before they get it. Say, not me. Others write jump once and they're in. They write four times with deliverance service before they get in. Say, not me. In case it was you, sorry. Praise the Lord. So you choose. Do you want things to be tough and hard? Or you want favor? Praise the Lord. I want favor. And he tells us what gives favor. There is something that gives favor. He says, good understanding, give it. So when I get good understanding, I have what? All right, so where can I find good understanding? This must be so important. Because remember, Proverbs 4, verse 17. He says, wisdom is what? Principal thing. Get wisdom. With all thy getting, get. And if good understanding gives favor, he's saying get favor. Right? So what is understanding? In Proverbs 8, he tells us, wisdom is understanding. Isn't that interesting? 8 verse 14. Wisdom is understanding. So when you get wisdom, you get understanding, you get favor, your way would not be hard. Simple, isn't it? We are making progress. The first one was to get favor, then understanding, then he told us it's wisdom. So how do we get wisdom? Wisdom is the word of God. In Proverbs 8 verse 23, wisdom says, I was there in the beginning. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word. So when you get the word, you get favor. Are you seeing that? So it says, good understanding gives favor. That means getting the word gives favor. And that's not a surprise. It says the word is full of grace and truth. So when I go for the word, I'm ensuring that things will not be hard for me. But it says transgressors, those who transgress the word, those who ignore the word, would have things very difficult for them. When I get to the word, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I read the word in the morning, when I meditate on the word, when I go out, I should expect favor. Are you in this place? Now that I've gotten favor, I should expect favor. If you are not eating for 3 days, you might expect to faint because you feel so tired. Praise the Lord. I know you say not me, but Jesus said, praise the Lord, after having 3 days meeting with some guys, he told his disciples, if we don't give them something, they will faint on the way. So that's expected because they are not eating. Now he tells us, when you get to the world, when you go out, expect favor. Are you in this place? Even though it looks like you're not good enough, expect favor. Why? He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are you in this place? Expect him to what? Help you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, not to punish you when you do something wrong. Praise the Lord. Not to watch over you as a monitoring spirit, looking at all your mistakes. No. He will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my what? I have help. So good understanding gives favor. Going to the word, getting in the morning, get your favor up. Are you in this place? Before you go out, spend time with the word. Get that favor meter up. Praise the Lord. It says, but the ways of transgressors are hard. Go to Psalm 119 verse 21. So those who transgress the word, don't care about the word. You will suffer for nothing. Say, not me. Things will be tough for nothing. When it can be easy. God wants to help you. Think about it. He's a very present help. But you see, you might forget when things get tough. That's why spending time with God's word, the word comes to your heart. The word comes to you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. He says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy command. He said, anybody who transgresses the word is proud. Why are you running outside right now? Because you woke up by 8 a.m. How about God's word? You think God's word cannot help you? You think it's your running that will help you get to work early? Try it. You've already left late. Try it. Why did you ignore God's word? That is pride. Are you seeing that? That is pride. Doesn't mean you are proud. Right? But then he's telling us, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. So anybody who transgresses God's word, errs from the word, doesn't care about God's word, is already walking in a disadvantage. It's like when Jesus appeared to Paul and said, it is hard for you to kick against the goats. Kicking a rock and it's not moving. Praise the Lord. So this month and this year, go for grace. Are you in this place? Go for the word. Go for the word. Don't ignore the word. Don't wake up and say, oh, I will do it in the evening. How market? By the time you come back, you're probably so tired. Praise the Lord. Start with the word. Right? Start. There must be something about starting with the word. Jesus was busy, but he woke up early to start with the word. So start with the word. Praise the Lord. Go for grace. Tell your neighbor, go for grace. Say, I would go for grace. Have you learned something? Hallelujah. Yes, go for grace. Things can be easy. There are different types of doors. There is that door. Before you open it, you must do like this and kick it. And then, and then you go in. Praise the Lord. Suffer head door. The way of transgressors is hard. Praise the Lord. That's a wicked door. You push to close it, close. But then there is that door. As you are coming, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then there's the Jesus way. Who knows the Jesus way? You know, some people can be so intimidating. The Bible says his disciples locked the doors. Leko ekti zika. Don't you love Jesus? They locked, they were hiding from the Pharisees and the priests. Then came Jesus. Doors still locked. He didn't come through the windows. He said it's a thief that comes through the windows. He didn't. Whether the door is locked or not, if you need to be in that room, you are there. Are you in this place? Think about it. You can be somewhere in your room and where you need to be spoken about, someone is rooting for you. It's like David. His own parents did not remember. Jesse did not remember to call him. Usually, if your family did that place, at least they will remember you. They didn't call him. He was in the bush. But he said he had been meditating on the word. Good understanding gives favor. When it was time, Samuel, a whole prophet. Do you know who Samuel was that day? The only prophet said, we will not sit until the young man came. He was not there. He was not trying to make his case. He did not have a pitch deck. He was in the bush. Yet, they said, bring that man. Praise the Lord. Good understanding gives favor. Listen, don't rush like the rest of the world. You are different. Are you in this place? The people, you're looking for a job. You have run around Lagos sweating. Sweating, say this is the job market, the job race. Okay, you have tried that one. It's very hard. Yes, it's very hard. Now try favor. Are you in this place? traffic. Let people call you a fool for spending time with God. Then let God show up for you. Are you in this place? Oh, hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. You would think we have to choose. Either we spend time with God's word or we hustle. We can't have both. We have to choose. So when you're spending time with God's word, someone says you're just lazing around. Go and look for something to do. But now God has shown us that as we spend time with his word, hallelujah, that thing that tells us to go and look for to do, we find us.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I can just rest here. Do you love the word of God? Love God's word, oh. Love God's word. Study God's word. The word is alive. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't treat God's word like a generator manual. Nobody reads that thing. Study the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so that's Proverbs. Three instructions for purpose. So what that means is, these are the three things that when you keep, you are walking in purpose. All right? There are people who have made their search and pursuit for purpose a challenge. It becomes a mountain for them. Everywhere they go, they're asking, how can I know my purpose? How can I know my purpose? Every man of God they meet, they ask, how did you find out your purpose? How can I know my purpose? They read all the books on purpose. Praise the Lord. And I think it's great. At least you are aware that you can't be here for nothing. There's something God has called you to do. So I want us to go back to the beginning and see three instructions that God gave to man that was in line with why God made him. Are you in this place? Mm-hmm. Three instructions. Genesis 1 verse 28. Genesis 1 verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue lots of land and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon
earth.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so he blessed them and then said to them, okay? So you can say, oh, this is the blessing also, but this is an instruction. Right? He blesses them and instructs them. The blessing should enable them to keep the instruction. So he blesses them and says to them, be what? Fruitful. That's an instruction. Hallelujah. Be fruitful. So number one, I said three instructions for purpose. Number one, fruitfulness. It says be fruitful, meaning that if they were fruitful, they can say, oh, wow, we are on track to doing what God wants us to do. Are you seeing that? So fruitfulness. Number two, it says, and what? Multiply. Fruitfulness is different from multiplication. There are things that multiply that are not fruitful. Are you in this place? Yeah, you can have one agbero standing on that street. Next week, there are three multiplied. But they are not fruitful. All right? So he says, multiply and replenish. Yeah, that's multiplication, isn't it? So number one, fruitfulness. Number two, multiplication. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And he said, and subdue it and have dominion. So subduing and dominion, same thing. So number three, reigning. Reigning. Right? Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl. Interesting. All right. So three instructions for purpose. Fruitfulness, multiplication, reigning. We're going to look at that in the light of who we are in Christ. All right? Great. Because remember, when he gave him this instruction, the devil was not a factor. Right? Sin had not entered into the world. So sin came. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right now, the devil is not the factor. So, three instructions. Fruitfulness. Are you fruitful? Let's start with that. Number one, fruitfulness. Are you fruitful? What does it mean to be fruitful? Do you know God is very interested in your being fruitful? So much so that Jesus said his disciples are the ones that bear fruit. John 15 verse 8. It says, and herein is my Father glorified, that you shall bear much fruit, so shall ye be my. He wants his disciples to be what? Fruitful. I said, God is very interested in your being fruitful. Go to Luke 9. Yeah. Luke 13, verse 6. Luke 13, verse 6. It says, listen to this. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found. That's not a fruitful tree. I'm just remembering Mark 11. What happened to the tree? God is really interested in being fruitful. All right, verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbered it the ground? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this is not a fruitful tree. Cut it down. Why is it disturbing the ground? Why is it wasting space? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said, God is very interested in your being fruitful. Right? Let's finish it. Verse 8. And he answered and said unto him, Lord. So Lord. So he's saying this man that is complaining is not just any guy. All right? Lord, let it alone this year also. Give it one more year. Till I shall dig about it and I add manure. Let's add fertilizer and see. Verse 9. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Hebrews 6, verse 7. You know, I just pray for all of us in this place that we get to know God's word so well that I can easily juxtapose with examples in God's word and you'll not be lost or be laughing as though you know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, Hebrews 6, verse 7. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh up upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessings from God. It says, the land that God is raining on, and it brings herbs, God would bless it. Are you in this place? Think about it. It's already producing results, and God will still bless it. So it will do much more. Are you seeing that? Verse 8. But that which beareth thorns, chuku-chuku, and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be what? All of this to say, God is not a bad investor. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful. So, to fulfill purpose, I must keep the instruction to be fruitful. So how? What do I have to do to be fruitful in the eyes of God? Because there are many people fruitful, in quotes, doing many things that God does not recognize. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you don't want to waste your time on the earth, buying properties, buying cars, and when you stand before God, they are not there with you. So how can I be fruitful in the eyes of God? I like it because it tells us immediately. Go to John 15, verse 4. It tells us what we can do to be fruitful. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you. Think about it. Hold on. Hey, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Did that get your attention?
Yes, Pastor.
I mean, did that get your attention? Let's go back. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, can you? But there are people that are bearing results outside of Christ. Don't you know that? Haven't you done things you didn't consult God and it worked? But God doesn't recognize it. He says, no more can you except you abide in me. So I said, fruitfulness in the eyes of God, what we're looking at right now. Verse 5. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do another puzzle. There are people doing a lot of things without him. Have you been to Dubai? Doing many things without him. But in the eyes of God, it is nothing. He doesn't count it. He doesn't consider it. And let me tell you something, it's not strange. He tells Abraham, I want your only son, Isaac. What happened to Ishmael? Ishmael was born in a natural way. He didn't consider him. You don't want to live your life being fruitful in something that God would count zero. Say, not me. So how do you keep that instruction of purpose before God? He says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are... Why? Because he's not fruitful. Right? He's not abiding in him. He's not fruitful. And remember, this is the end result of everything that is not fruitful. Have you noticed? Come on. Are you in this place? The earth, he said, will be burnt. The tree, he says, will be taken away. He says, the one who is not fruitful, hey, will cast them to the fire and be born. Interesting. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto. So he simplifies it. Being fruitful in the eyes of God, think about this. Think about this. He's putting God's word inside of you. Can you imagine? The quality of words you receive inside of you would affect your fruitfulness in the eyes of God. No wonder he asked Adam, who told you you were naked? What words have you been receiving? You want to be fruitful in the eyes of God. You want to check that instruction for purpose that you should be fruitful. Get God's word inside of you. That's the first thing. Get God's word inside of you. He says, when you do whatever you ask. Why? Because everything you ask would be a result of God's word. You become an offspring. You become an expression of God's word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So number one, fruitfulness. You can put God's word inside of me. Right? That's all you have to do. Don't you like it when you know what to do to check a list? Think about it. And I like it. He didn't tell us to go to Jerusalem. No. He says, put the word inside. When you put the word inside, you'll be fruitful. He promises you that. You'll be fruitful. Don't say, I've put the word, what next? Praise the Lord. Oh, you put the word, what next? You see, that's why you have to read God's word, so you know what to expect. Do you know the Bible tells us that David, are you in this place? David was carrying the ark into Jerusalem. And then one man tried to help the ark and was killed. Do you remember that story? Uzzah. And so David said, don't bring that thing near my house. It kills people. So they took the ark into the house of Obed-Edom. What was special about the ark? The word of God was inside. That's all. They carried that thing inside the house. And the Bible says, Obed-Edom's household became what? Prosperous. And they knew it was the word. The word entered a household. And they became prosperous. If you put the word inside of you, you become fruitful. So number one, instruction for purpose, fruitfulness. Put God's word inside of you. Don't try to compensate or delegate. There are people who don't study God's word, but they give to the poor. May God see this one now. If you like, don't give to the poor. He will find a way to give anyways. God will take care of the poor, whether you like it or not. You put the word inside of you. Are you in this place? Number one. Number two, multiplication. 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 Before we go there, go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Let me show you something. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. It says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So I'm saying, when you put God's word inside of you, you would be fruitful. All right? Trust God. Okay? you would be fruitful. Remember, Obed-Edom, his household was blessed just because the word was inside. So you want to be fruitful in the eyes of God, do what he says you should do. Put the word inside of you. And this is the blessing. That's why Jesus said only one thing is needful. Paying attention to the word. Every topic we ever teach always comes back to put the word inside. And it's no surprise because the word of God made everything. So you cannot talk about everything without coming back to the word. So fruitfulness. Number two, multiplication. Multiplication. Now that you put the word inside of you and you're fruitful, what next? Give the word. Give the word. Multiply. I'll give you an example. Look at scriptures. All right? If you take a fruit, okay, and you want to multiply that fruit, what do? You give the seed to be planted. The seed comes from that fruit, and then it is planted. The seed, a seed brought forth that fruit that has seed in itself. And then to multiply that fruit, you take that seed out. Are you in this place? The word made you fruitful. To multiply, you have to give that word out. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's how you're fruitful. That's how you multiply. You know God's word. Get another person. And that's how the disciples taught. Go to Acts 6 verse 1. Acts 6 verse 1. And in those days, when the numbers of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring. But they multiplied. At first, they saw 12 of them. Later on, 3,000 plus. Later on, 5,000 plus. But it was not just happening. The disciples were going out and giving the word. Are you in this place? I said three instructions for purpose. Ask yourself, am I fruitful? Do I put God's word inside of me? Yes. Then do I give the word? You can't just receive the word and you're not giving it out. Are you in this place? Do I give the word? Do I share the word? Are others loving the word just like I love the word? That is multiplication. Praise the Lord. That's multiplication. The Bible says the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 12 verse 24. How did the word grow and multiply? Because people were preaching. The apostles were preaching. Praise the Lord. You come to church. The Bible says for the word edification of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. When you come to church, you hear God's word. God's word makes you fruitful for the work of the ministry. So you go out and multiply. When you're fruitful, it means that the business is going well, the family is going well, everything is going well. What next? You can't just live life for yourself. You buy more cars. How many cars can you drive at once? You say you terrorize Lagos with convoys. You can't carry all of them. Are you in this place? Life must be beyond you. So your family is good. So everything is going well for you. Now, how can you multiply? Who else are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Who are you putting into? Can't just be you. Look at Jesus, only begotten Son of God, and he was okay. Why did he have to die so that all of us would come? Because that is the mindset of those that we are born of. Can't just be you. You must multiply. Are you in this place? You must. And someone said, I just want. You know, and your vision has to be multiplication for important things. It can't be let God just prosper me. I'll give all my siblings will collect new iPhone. That's such a low way to think. Okay, what next? After the, what next? There must be more. Are you in this place? You give them the word. You give them the word. So sitting down, you ask yourself, do I put God's word inside of me? This is how you know if you're walking in purpose. Am I fruitful in the eyes of God? Yes, people are celebrating the new shop I just opened. But what does God think? Are you in this place? Is God, if God calls me home today, what next? What will I tell him? It's not the shop. Have you seen heaven? Can you compare it to your shop? No. He's not moved by those things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The only thing you're taking to heaven with you are the souls you want. People. That's why Paul called his disciples his crown. People you want. And so you're fruitful. You're, because let me tell you something. Obededom did not win souls. His house was prosperous. If you spend time on God's word, you have the money. You'll have the car. Are you in this place? Peter had not done much for Jesus when he caught so many fishes, two boats sank. Are you in this place? So that what was God trying to tell us? Providing is not. Do you understand? When he made Adam, the garden was already there. It doesn't cost him anything. So once you take God's word inside of you, you'll be fruitful. But don't mistake that fruitfulness for multiplication. There's still something you have to do for the Lord. You have to give people God's word. Praise the Lord. So this is the irony of it. When you are not fruitful, then you die to self. You should have already. What did Jesus say? Go to John 12. John 12. Verse 24. John 12, verse 24. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much." That's the example I gave about the fruit. If it dies, multiplication. So while you're giving God's word, it might not feel good. That's the point. Hey, Saturday, you should be resting. But they're calling you for evangelism. You know, there are people that are only in church, working in church because they want a job from God. You know people like that? The reason why they're attending all the meetings is because they're trying to obey God to help their destiny. Praise the Lord. By the time they get the job, think about it. They were coming to church for the job. That job then takes them away from church. Say, not me. So you die to self. So you're going to pray. You're going to fast beyond asking God for things because you're already fruitful, but for souls. Are you seeing that? Imagine fasting because of something carnal when God can give you more. People. So you see, there's now a discipline about your life. Because you're fruitful doesn't mean you are now flamboyant and wasteful. Are you seeing that? Because you're fruitful doesn't mean you're so flashy. Even you can't see road. No. You're fruitful with a purpose for multiplication. You see, that's why he told him to be fruitful first before he multiply. Before you're going to multiply empty stuffs. All right? So, you're fruitful now. Everything is going well. What next? Don't be like that fool that said, I will build bigger barn. No. What next? God's kingdom. See what he has done for me. What can I do for him? Multiply. Multiply. So ask yourself, have you taken God's word inside of you? When I say fruitfulness is an instruction, like I said, it doesn't mean opening two shops. Now you have three branches. No. It means you're giving to God's word. Then number two, ask yourself, as God has blessed me, was it not me that 2 years ago 30K was hard? Are you in this place? I used to trek 30 minutes to make up for my transport. Now look at me. He has so blessed me. I'm eating shawarma every night. But the blessing was not for shawarma. It's good. But now that God has blessed you, what can you do for him? Multiply. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Multiply. So multiplication. Number one, what? Number two, what? Find out what, think of, what a blessing that you can do something for Almighty God. Do you know what that means? God that created this world for some reason needs you to do something for him. That your life can move from God, please help me, to what can I do for you? What a mindset. So multiplication. Praise the Lord. Number three, reigning. Reigning. All right. So you've put God's word inside of you. Now you're fruitful. But challenges would come. Do you know you have an adversary? You say, me, I don't offend people. I don't know why some people don't like me. You can be the nicest person in this world. Look at Jesus. Abby? Why did they kill Jesus? They said it while he was on the cross. He saved others. Do you understand how terrible this is? They are killing him because he saved others. When they heard he had raised Lazarus from the dead, they wanted to kill Lazarus. As though the man has not died enough. Jesus said they hated me without a cause. And so, but who was behind that? The devil. And he has not died. And he's just as strongly opposed to you. Don't think all his hatred was for Jesus, for us, he has come down. No, you are joined to the Lord. Are you in this place? So there's an adversary. So when you hear fruitfulness and maybe things are going comma, don't say, I thought it was fruitful. Why are you asking useless questions when you should be reigning in life? Are you in this place? Why are you asking useless questions? If you had a dog and the dog should be in its cage, it's 9 p.m. and the dog is in your parlor, would you say, why is the dog here? How can the dog be here? What? You are not a serious dog owner. You tell the dog to get, you drag the dog back inside. And so God wants to be fruitful. Yes. You put the word of God inside of you. Yes. Doesn't mean that sickness might not show up. But that's where you reign in life. Are you in this place? That's where you say something. Reign. It's an instruction. Let me tell you something. It's an instruction. In other words, you should do it. You should. Look at Jesus when he was a baby. When Herod wanted to kill him, God helped. Praise the Lord. But when he was on that boat as an adult, it was not God that woke him up. Are you in this place? It wasn't. Neither was it angels. They were looking at him like this. It was his disciples that woke him up, not to do something, but to complain. He said, are you sleeping? And they didn't believe he could calm the storm. So he wondered, why did you wake him up? To see as he's dying. It's not better he dies in sleep. God didn't help him. He got up. The Bible says he spoke. Oh, he spoke to the water. He spoke to the wave. That's the person you are following. He was speaking to things people could not see. How do I know you're following? When you start speaking to things people can't see. You can even see the board. You don't want to speak to it. How are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? He spoke to three. Madness. But he was in charge. Are you in this place? So yes, fruitful in your health. But the swelling can come in your neck. Like someone here. The swelling can come. It goes, then it comes. It goes in your own body. Playing games with you. What do you do? Reign in life. Are you in this place? Reign in life. A serious Christian is a reigning Christian. Grace should make you reign. It says, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall hide in life, shall complain in life, shall reign. Because they have grace, doesn't mean Satan will respect them, but they will put him in his place. Reign in life. You tell that boy, cease, never return. You know Jesus used to say that. The epileptic boy says, you dumb and deaf spirit, come out of him and don't end. You have to put it. Put that barricade. How only you, 2 years ago, high blood pressure. 1 year ago, you were fine. This year, stabilize and remain that way. I'm going to meet people to speak to. Please speak for my body. Speak to my body. You that have mouth, your own body that knows how he's doing you. Not me.
Not me.
Speak. bold. See who you follow. Don't be shy. Are you in this place? You're entering boss. Your forehead hits the door. Don't say, it is where, it is where. It is where, it is where. It is where, it is where. Now you come here and say, Pastor, please pray for me. I went to do scan. It is where, it is where. You are just wasting time. You mistake, firstly, you hit your head. The angel will give account. Because the Bible says he has given his angels charge over us. So we don't. So what's that angel doing? That's one thing. Are you in this place? Second one, you hit, healed in Jesus' name. People look at you, eh? It's not better they're looking at you well than your obituary. Healed. Are you in this place? Don't be a shy Christian. I'm not saying be loud and loquacious. I'm saying be a king. When it matters, say something. Right? And don't be shy. Now I've said, say healed. Healed, though. How can I just shout healed in the bus? Some people are looking at me. But you can shout for 500 naira change. Praise the Lord. So many matters will be solved if you attack it from the get-go. Are you in this place? You don't have to go and spend useless money in hospitals. Remember that woman with the issue of blood? She spent all she had with doctors and did not get better. It's not today. At times, even to find out what's wrong with you, you spend 150K on your own body. Come on, take charge. Are you in this place? Take charge. Fight the good fight of faith. Oh, yes. Fight. Yes. The pain wants you to be walking like this. Fight. Move. The Holy Ghost inside of you is not walking like this. Forget it. He's not. The Holy Ghost inside of you is very strong. Straight. If you see in the spirit, he's like this. You're like this. Hello. Reign in life. Reign in life. He doesn't promise you a challenge-free life. He promises you victory. He promises you victory. The circumstances will arise. There is victory for the one who reigns. Praise the Lord. For the one who reigns. You look at your family, all of a sudden it's like nobody is talking to nobody. Uncle is no longer calling. This person is fighting with this person. They say, I don't even know, I don't even know, I don't even know. You don't even know what? The thief coming over to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's destroying your home before your eyes, so you don't even know, you don't even know. No! Say in the name of Jesus, you Satan out! Start that way. Say, who are you talking to? Forget it. You're talking to Satan. Speak. It's an instruction. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It's an instruction for you. God won't do it for you. You do it. You're the one to reign in your kingdom. In your kingdom, your family. Your business, your body, you are the king there. And you make sure it is known. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So three things. Fruitfulness. Multiplication. See, I'm in charge. You know, people get offended about that. They say, God is in charge. It's true. He's in charge through me. I and my Father are one. We are both in charge. I am in charge. Are you in this place? Yeah. Remember, this instruction first came to Adam. Was he fruitful? Probably. Did he multiply afterwards? Did he reign? No. No. What did God tell him to reign over? All the creatures, including the serpents. But when Satan came, he stood there doing nothing, eating the fruit. Yesterday was Valentine. Praise the Lord. But look at Jesus. Satan comes again. Same trick. Tempting him with food. What did Jesus say? At the end of all the temptation. What did he say? What did he say? That's KJV for get out of this place. You're the one to reign. Are you in this place? You're the one to reign. Satan might be showing you a future that looks bleak. Praise the Lord. But you know what God has said about you? Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an... expected end. When Satan brings that future that looks like, you're not even making progress, you say, Satan, out. By God's word, I'm making progress. Are you in this place? Yeah. So three instructions for purpose. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number one is what?
Fruitfulness.
Be fruitful. Number two is what?
Multiply.
Number three is what?
Free.
Go to 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Glory. Woo! Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm reigning in life. I'm putting things in order. In my body. In my family. In my business. Glory! Don't live. Have your seat, please. Thank you. Don't live life to chance. Let me tell you something. It's either you're the one framing your world or Satan is doing it for you. Are you in this place? And Satan will do it for you happily. You reign. So stop asking useless questions. Complaining to God. I thought they said when we do this, this will happen. Why now? Why now? That's energy. Direct it to the right recipients. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Satan, I see what you're doing. Out. That's all. Someone says, is it like that? Yes. Why do we have the examples in the Bible? It's like that. So say, won't Satan fight back? What? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, people acting as though Satan is not opposing them. He is. Whether you are conscious of it or not. All right? He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. But that doesn't mean you should be afraid. No. The next verse. Whom what? Resist. Steadfast in the faith. Is that Satan about to enter the door of your house? Resist him. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. Stop dragging that leg. Start walking well. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Holy Ghost does not share his temple. He's right there. Walk well in the name of Jesus. Lord, go and bend after service. Someone here, you've not been able to squat. Go there and squat in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Give no room. Give no place to the devil. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. It says resist him. In other words, reign. Reign. Say, I'm fruitful.
I'm
multiplying. And I'm reigning in life. Glory. Have you learned something today? All right, go ahead and thank God for what you've learned.